Log Talk Radio.
I'm coming in. even when I don't understand, just to see you, just to be home. Let's get together, y'all. For your glory, I will do it, just to stay home, to behold you as my King, I want to be where you are, gotta be where you are, oh Lord. Can I tell you this, Apostle? It was 2006. I was at a leadership conference, and the Lord told me it was time for me to leave my father and go to Atlanta. I had nothing in Atlanta. I didn't have a job. I didn't have nothing. And I said, he said, you have 4 months to move and go to Atlanta, and I didn't understand why. And so when I got there, I was kicking and screaming and crying. I didn't want to leave my daddy. And I got to Atlanta. I walked into a church, and the worship leader started saying, "Fire glory." And I lifted my hands and I said, God, if it makes me uncomfortable, if I don't understand it, I just want to be where you are. So the fact that you asked me to sing this morning, it just reflects I understand. Because my prayer all of these years has been, I don't understand what you're doing right now, but I want to be where you are. I don't have to understand what you're doing right now, but I gotta be where you are. I'm talking to some people in this room. God is instructing you to do some stuff that you don't understand. But I tell you, lift up your hands and open up your mouth in this moment. And tell me, I just want to be where you are. I said, gotta be where you are. I just want to be where you are. I said, gotta be where you are. I just want to be where you are. I just want to be where you are.
Just the voices, for your glory. because of this truth. I want to see you to be all you are. One more time, oh, 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 oh.
Come on, come on. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you for blessing us this day with a new day to be part of this glorious day that you have created, that you have made, that you have ordained before the foundation of the world. Lord, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the breath and for the life that you have poured into us this morning. We ask your forgiveness and we ask your mercy. We come this morning with a heart of repentance, Lord, repenting for any word we may have said or any action we may have taken. Lord, we ask that you wrap your loving arms around us, your arms of love, your arms of mercy and grace, your arms of forgiveness. Father, we ask today that you touch us where we need to be touched. Lord, that you heal us where we need to be healed. And Lord, that we ask that you flood our hearts with the spirit of compassion, that we'll have compassion for our fellow man. Father, help us to reach out and touch those with the love, compassion, the mercy and grace that you have bestowed upon us, even those that don't care for you, don't care for us, don't care for anything that's holy or righteous. Help us to be loving and kind. For you said in your word, with love and kindness have you drawn us. So, Father, help us to extend love and kindness to our lost brothers and sisters. Father, we pray for the President of the United States of America, for the Congress, for the Senators, for the Vice President, for the Supreme Court Justice Department. Father, we ask that you would touch the police department, that they would begin to operate according to the law, the books that they have studied to work by. Father, that they would treat all of mankind, all human beings as the same. Father, that they would not discriminate because of someone's color or someone's country or class or creed. Father, we pray for husbands and wives this morning, that you heal marriages today. Lord, we are praying for our sons and daughters and our grandsons and granddaughters and great-grandsons and great-granddaughters, Lord, that you heal, that you protect them when they're going out in the field, discovering this new world that they have entered into. Lord, that they will not be distracted, delayed, or destroyed by the evil that's in this world. But, Father, we ask that you would dispatch angels to go with them wherever they go. Lord, we pray for our fellow workers, all those that are in the kingdom of heaven here on earth, working to help establish this kingdom that you have created for mankind to live in. Lord, that you give each and every one of us the hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we will go forth helping each other, oh God, to maintain that anointing that you have placed upon our lives. Lord, help us to remove that spirit of gossip and talking about each other when we are not with each other. Lord, but help us to love, care, and respect each other as you love and care for us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Bless this word, Father God. I know it's blessed because it's your word, that as I deliver this message this morning, that it will go and do what you sent it to do. It will not return void. Lord, you said, teach on Satan. And the message this morning, Satan focused on the mind of the believer. So Satan's focus is on the mind of the believer. How do you know this, Apostle? Because his focus or his plan or his assignment or his way of doing things today is to get us doing what he wants done. Then how does he do that? He does it by putting thoughts in our minds. Hallelujah. Glory to God, regardless if you see it or don't see it, this is what Satan does. He put thoughts in the believer's mind so that the believer would end up doing what he wants the believer to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? So, in other words, what we must do is that we must get to this place of casting down all thoughts and imaginations, everything that exalts itself in us that is not like Christ. And Satan shows you the new car, he shows you the new house, he shows you the young woman when you already have a wife, or the young man when you already have a husband. He shows you all the things that will make you feel like you are all this in a bag of chips in a Pepsi Cola. He makes you feel like you're bigger than you are. So that when you walk in that frame of that mind setting, that you find yourself walking away from God. Hallelujah. We push ourselves up, we pop ourselves up, that we are better preacher than the next preacher. We can do all these things that are better than the other person. We make ourselves, we put ourselves up higher than we really are. Instead of allowing God to promote us, he said that if we humble ourselves, that he would exalt us in due season. So we need to stay in a mindset of humbleness. And the Bible says that the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and to destroy. Talk about Satan. Satan wants to destroy your way of thinking. He wants to destroy your way of life. He wants to destroy this way that God has ordained for us to live, holy, righteous. So he shows us things that look better, but it's not really look really better. It may look better to the eyes, but it's not better for the soul. So we have to stay focused on what God has shown us in this world. The Bible said he come not but to kill, steal, and to destroy, but Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly, John 10:10. So we have to focus that when Satan is showing us stuff, God, what God has for us is much better with what Satan is showing us, because what Satan has shown us is only going to last for a season. It's only going to last for a season. So when we come into judgment, all that we have in this season will not be with us. When we leave this world, what we gain in this world, the things that we gravitate to in this world, we're going to have to leave behind. You may have the most gorgeous wife or the most handsome husband, but when you leave here, hopefully you both leave together, but when you leave here, you're gone. If you're serving Christ, you're going to go with Christ. If you're serving the world system, you're going to go with Satan. But you're going to go and answer. We're going to answer to Christ, to God himself, for ourselves. We're not going to answer for our husband. We're not going to answer for our wife. But they decide, how they decide and who they decide to serve, they would have to answer God for that. Do you hear me this morning? So we as believers must make up in our mind, who are we serving? Who are we serving? Who are we going to serve? Are we serving the true and living God, or are we just serving who somebody told us about? That we get an understanding that he is God and he is God all by himself. And then we decide we're going to live for him. It doesn't matter what anyone say or anyone do. We are living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do. You hear me say? Because we are bombarded with so many things. We are bombarded with so many things and so many people that tell us this and tell us that, that sometimes we seem to be walking in the spirit of confusion, even though God has not given us the spirit of confusion. He gives us the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Power, love, and a sound mind. So we have to walk in that anointing. Now here in the book, we used this scripture yesterday, but somehow the Lord gave us this scripture back again today. So we want to get this in this stuff. So let's start here in 1st and 2nd Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Yesterday we did the first five verses, but we'll do only one verse here today. Excuse me, just drink a little water. Because Satan wants, is focusing on our mind, and he's putting thoughts in our mind. That's why we cannot fellowship. Most times we can't fellowship. We cannot get along because we find ourselves saying things and doing things that is not appropriate. Hallelujah. So we can't really get along. Yes, we say we love the Lord. But if something don't go in our favor, we can't fellowship. We cannot work together for the kingdom. You understand? Because we are distracted by the spirit of this world. The spirit of the world is Satan. He is the God of this world. So the Bible says here And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. We're going to go here and then we go in places. We're not going to pull up any more in this verse. He says, in whom the God of this world, talking about Satan, have blinded the mind of them which believe not. They don't believe. So because they don't want to hear about Jesus Christ, they don't want to hear about the gospel, what are they tuned to? They're tuned to the world, the things of the world. So they're easy target or easy object for Satan to use. Because once their mind is not even, they're not trying to hear about God. When you start to say, I'm not interested, they'll tell you to your face, I'm not interested in that. You say, well, can I talk to you about Jesus? Can I talk to you about salvation? Can I talk to you about eternity? They tell you straight to your face, I'm sorry, man, but I'm not interested in that. I'm young. My life is doing well. I don't need all that stuff. They'll tell you to your face. So Satan now is their easy target. Easy, you know what we say? They're easy picking for Satan. Because Satan now, Satan can tell them, well, go get a tattoo on your face. Go put a tattoo with some demon photograph on your face. And they'll go to the tattoo man and they'll take the picture with them or tattoo woman and say, I need this in the tattoo I want you to put on my shoulder. This is the tattoo I want you to put on my breast. This is the tattoo I want you to put on my face, on my forehead, on my jaw. See, because they're easy pickings. They're easy targets for Satan to use. Satan tell me, look, you don't need to listen to them people talking about the Bible. You need to have sex. You need to have sex outside of marriage. You need to fornicate. And then if they might say, you need to go ahead and your husband not treating you right, your wife not treating you right, why don't you go get a young woman and you can enjoy your life. You're not enjoying life. Why are you just walking around and sulking and pining away where you could be having a good time? This is what Satan does. Because his objective or his focus. The topic today is the Satan focus is on the mind of the believer. Satan will show the believer. Why? He's not attacking the unsaved because he already has the unsaved. He has them working for him in the field of disobedience, in the field of sin. Hallelujah. So he's working on the believer and telling the believer that all this stuff that you are doing, it doesn't help you. How far is you going? You've been doing this for so long, and yet nothing is happening for you. This is what he says to the believer. And the believer now would go off and say, well, in his mind, he's not talking out loud. He said, well, I heard this thing in my mind, but he don't realize it's Satan talking to him. He said, maybe right, because I've been going to church for so long, it doesn't seem like anything is working for me. It doesn't seem. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. His mind, the believer in mind is blind, is now attacked. The unbeliever is blinded, so he don't see what Satan is doing. But the believer, he's believing Christ Jesus. He's going to church Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, whatever day the building's open. He's going to fellowship. But he's not 100% committed and submitted to Christ Jesus. See, the thing is that we have to get to a place where we are 100% submitted and committed. Not to your pastor, not to your bishop, not to your apostle, not to the evangelist, not to the teacher. You must be 100% committed and submitted. Bishop James should say that. You must be 100% committed and submitted to Christ Jesus, what he has done on the cross at Calvary. Then when Satan come and tell you some stuff, you tell him, get away from me. Go. Leave here. You're not welcome. You can put your feet flat for this and say, there's no need you talking because I'm not listening to you. Go somewhere else. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world has blinded, that means continuous, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They don't believe the gospel. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the light of the gospel give you, bring deliverance. It restores you. It elevates you to a place of eternity, of living a life for eternity. Who in the image of God should shine unto you? When this gospel light come upon you and you begin to hear, something happened to you. That's what Jesus said so many times in the book, through the books. He that have an ear to hear, let them hear what is pretty seen to the Lord. Go to John chapter 13. We're talking about Satan focus is focused on, Satan's focus is on the mind of the believer. That's where his focus is. So he can distract the believer, delay the believer, and even destroy the believer if it is possible. You know, if you commit to Satan, you got a chance. But if you reject him, the Bible says, trust in the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. Trust in the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. We find it hard sometimes, all of us from time to time when we are going through, we find it hard to really trust in the Lord when in difficult times. When the doctor gives us a bad report, when the supervisor said, well, look, you know, I got to lay you off because we're not getting enough business. The company's not making enough money, so we can't keep everybody. But it happened that you know is in the place on the cutting block. You are on the cutting block, so you're the one, you're the last hurt and the first to be fired. And you say, well, if I'm serving the Lord and I know I'm serving him, why is all these things happening? We don't trust God. We don't trust him enough. If he give you the first job, he'll give you another one. You remember when Abraham was called to take Isaac to the mountain, to Mount Moriah, and sacrifice him unto God? Abraham failed to do what God said. He didn't have a second thought. When God said, you need to show me your love, show me how much you love me. And in essence, that's what God was saying. Show me how much you love me. Give me all that you have. Give me the thing that is so close to your heart. Give me that thing that you adore so much. And Abraham said, look, get a couple of his servants and said, let's go up to the mountain. We're going up here and worship God. Abraham didn't say, well, we're going up here and kill my son and sacrifice my son to God because God required my son. God did not talk to Isaac. He did not talk to the servants. He talked to Abraham. And Abraham was willing to give his son. Hallelujah. We have to be willing to give all to God, all, A-double-L. We give God the leftovers. Well, I just feel I read a little bit tonight. Or I'll pray a little bit. But when my movie come on, I'm putting on that Bible. When my show come on television, I'm putting on that Bible. When my song is playing on the radio, I'm gonna put on the Bible. I'm not going to pray any longer because I want to dance a little bit. I want to shake my stuff a little bit. That's what we do. God gets the leftover. In the book of James, hold your hand in John. In the book of James, chapter 4, the Bible says, verse 7, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. He will flee from you. See, you've got to be submitted. It's difficult for us from time to time to submit because we're looking at circumstances. We're looking at our life. We're looking at our condition, our circumstances, instead of looking at the solution. Jesus Christ is the solution to everything in a believer's life. This is why Satan is so focused on your mind. He said if he can get your mind, if he can capture your mind and get you thinking the way he wants you to think, he gets your soul. See, Satan wants our soul. But in order for him to get our soul, first he must capture our mind. He must capture our way of thinking, our way of doing things. So he puts thoughts in there. Go to, stay in John, hold your hand in John. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm running ahead of myself because I'm hearing scriptures. But Ephesians chapter 6, and let's go look at verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Where's the high places? The high places in your mind. In your mind, in our minds. It's not on the mountaintop. It's not over the ocean. It's in our minds. This is what Satan is doing. He's putting thoughts in our minds. And we become, you say, well, God is not the author of confusion, but we become confused because we are caught between a rock and a hard place. We're hearing the voice of God and we're hearing the voice of Satan. And not only hearing the voice of Satan, but Satan is showing us all the things in the world. Go to John chapter 4. I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. Go to John chapter 4. John? No, Matthew. Matthew, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 4. Satan is showing us all the world. Now, this is what we have to do. Matthew chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. I didn't even have the scripture done, but this is what he said. In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says that, let's start at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This is after Jesus was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. You know, after you stop fasting, after you end your fast, you will be tempted. Some young man going to come and tell, girl, you look so fine. Some young woman come and say, boy, you look good. Oh, you just glowing all over you. I want to be with you. You know, because that's the devil, see? So he's going to show you what he takes, what he knows you want to see. See, you're young, you're vigorous, vitality, showing you some stuff, going to quench your appetite. So then he said, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. No, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, you become hungry. Matter of fact, while you are fasting, you are hungry. But you continue to fast because you want to hear more. You want to know more from God. So he said he was a hunger. And when the tempter, this is Satan, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. See? He's showing Jesus the things of the world. And if he did it to Jesus, he's going to do the same thing to us. Hallelujah. Satan's going to come into your mind, and he's going to tell you, boy, you look so, you're looking so healthy. Man, all them girls out there, do you see them girls out there showing their belly? They got a half a t-shirt on, and all their belly is showing, the breast is jumping out. They wear the top so tight that the breast is jumping out. You can do something. This, let them know how much you care about them. All this he does. Then he says, but he answered and said, Jesus answered, this Jesus, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then Satan don't give up. I want you to understand that Satan does not give up. He's not going to stop trying you. He's not going to stop testing you to do the things that are wrong. He wants you to do the things that are wrong, the things that grieve the heart of God. Because Satan know as he could get you grieve the heart of God, he know that he'll have access to your soul. But first, what he has to do, as I said, Satan focuses on the mind of the believer. The first thing he needs to do is get into your head. Satan must get into your head. If he can get into your head, he'll win your soul. Now listen to what he says. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Now, Satan now is quoting Psalm 91. Psalm 91, 11. He's quoting that scripture. He says, I know how to entice you. He know how to come with the things, and it sounds like he's the real deal. Because he's a counterfeit. Hallelujah. He copied everything that Jesus did. So he comes out and tell you that if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. He'll give his inner child over you. It's the word of God. Okay. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time they dash thy foot against a stone. Listen to Satan talking to him. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into the exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, or get behind me, Satan. Go, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. See what Jesus did? We got to get the word so deep into our heart. We got to lock the word of God in our heart. Because every time Satan is putting a thought in our mind, we must, listen to me, we must cast down that thought. Every time that he put a thought in here, you know when it's coming, not coming from God. Every one of us, you and I, we know when the thought that Satan is putting in our mind is not from God. Because it does not line up. It does not line up with his word. Do you hear what I'm saying? When it's not led with the word of God, you see, well, that's Satan. That's Satan. God just said, John chapter 13. Let's go to John chapter 13 now. We're talking about Satan's focus is on the believer's mind. That's where his focus is, on your mind, on our mind. He's trying to capture our mind, capture us to do what he wants. John chapter 13, verse 2. The Son of Man ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, they are suffer. Understand? This is all going into working right now. This is what God has already ordained. Knowing that Judas is a thief, but Jesus still chose him to be one of the 12. God knows that he's a thief, and Jesus chose him to be one of the 12. And at supper time, Satan come and put a thought. See, the heart and the mind is connected. So Satan come and put a thought into Judas' heart or mind to deceive Jesus, to betray him. You understand what I'm saying? But Judas is a thief. So he's not focusing on casting on the thought. He's thinking that when he betrays Jesus, that he's going to get some money. And a lot of times we find ourselves doing some stuff and saying some stuff, acting out some stuff because somebody gave us some money. Somebody say, "Here, brother so-and-so, here's a couple thousand, here's $20,000. You know, well, I looked at a job the other day, and the job, we could make over $120,000 or more on the job. But then I had to weigh out the pros and the cons on the job. What could be difficult and what could be detrimental to me and to others? And I realized that the money didn't have no value. It was that my integrity, I had to put it on the line. I can't do that. See, because the devil has a way of trapping you, trapping us. Why? He's coming through that avenue that we don't notice a lot through your mind. We don't pay attention to it. We'll cut up people because something don't sound right or look right, but you don't realize it's the devil working. The devil trying to stop you from accomplishing the holiness that God said. Go to Leviticus chapter 20. Oh, my God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Leviticus chapter 20. Oh, bless Jesus. Bless you, Lord. The devil wants to put stuff in your mind. Thank you, Brother Deacon. The devil wants to put stuff in your mind because he doesn't want you to live holy. He don't want you to walk out this thing that God wants you to walk out. Do you hear what I'm saying? Glory to God. Leviticus 20. Ah, Jesus, have mercy. Glory, 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 glory. The Lord. He said, "Be holy, for I am holy." God wants us to be holy. He wants us to walk this life out. Satan does not want you to be holy because when you walk holy, you are exalting God. People can say, "Oh, I'm on Trent 19. People can look at you and say that you be God. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. He says, "Sanctify yourself, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." He says, "And you shall keep my statutes," verse 8, "and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." See, the Lord is sanctifying us. Every time we hear the word of God is what sanctifies us. The word cleans us. The word shapes us up. Empower us to live holy. The more you study the word of God, you may say, "Well, I don't have this and I have that." Verse 26 says, "And you shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine." See, the Lord wants us to be holy. Why? Because the Lord has taken us out of the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. But God has delivered us out of the world, the kind of deceitful, adulterous lifestyle that we were living. God has delivered us out of that lifestyle, the drug dealing, drug using, alcohol using, all that lifestyle that we were living, God has delivered us from. So now God wants us to live holy because he's holy. So he has sanctified us by the washing of the word. He cleansed us with his word. Hallelujah. He cleanses with the word. He cleanses with his blood so that we can walk in holiness. We can glorify him. We can, he can be established through our lifestyle. Because it's not how much that we say, but it's how much we do. Hallelujah. Not what we say, but what we do. Because we can preach the gospel, but if we don't live the gospel, we are just hypocrites. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew the law, but they didn't live the law. They will force the law down other people's throats. Want other people to keep the Sabbath, but they wasn't keeping the Sabbath. You understand? If we're going to preach the gospel to people that want people to live holy, it got to start with us first. We have to be first partaker of every word that we preach. Every word that we preach, we got to be first partaker. How are you going to say you love the Lord, but you hate your brother? How are you going to say you love the Lord, but you hate your sister? How are you going to say you love the Lord, but you get angry with your brother or sister, can't fellowship with them? I'm not going to the church because they're still going to the church. All this kind of foolishness. Let's go to John chapter 13. Let's get to John 13. See what we're doing over here. The Bible says that Satan, the devil, you know, he had many names. He entered into Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray to betray Jesus. See, this is the place that Satan enters. When Satan wants you to do things that are not of God, he enters your mind. The first thing he does, he shows you a picture. You know, just like Hollywood, before you go to the movies, they'll show you what they call it, short clips. They'll show you previews of the show. You may be in the movie watching one movie, and then they'll show you previews of this show that's coming next month. And they show the best part. And because it looks so good, you say, I got to go there. Because, man, that movie's going to be tight, man. It's going to be tight. But when you get there, you realize that all it really was is that same part that you saw. There's no greater part in the movie, just that particular part that they show you to entice you. So Satan shows us, not you, but us, he shows us stuff that look lovely, that looks great to us, to get us into that realm that he wants. Verse 27. Now let's jump down to verse 27. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. So if you go back and read the whole story, I just want to put those two verses up. Satan now has the mind of Judas. He has control over his heart. And Jesus is reading all of this because he knows the end from the beginning. Remember, he said he knows who is going to betray him. He said, the one that supped with me, the one that dipped his bread, the one that supped with me, the one that eat and drink with me, that's the one that's going to betray me. All the disciples are eating and drinking with him. But there's one that's going to dip. There's a way he's going to dip. Let's go on and read this stuff here. Let's read and see. He rises up from supper, verse 4, and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded, the towel that he had around his waist. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do now, knowest not. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. In other words, he's saying to Peter, what I'm doing right now, you don't really know. You don't understand. But after I'm gone, after I'm elevated from this earth and go back to the Father's bosom, you will understand what I've did, what I've done to you all. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Peter thinking now that, well, Jesus is the rabbi. He wasn't thinking bad. You might say, well, why did Peter say that? Peter wasn't thinking bad. He was thinking that Jesus was the rabbi. He's the teacher. He's the one that's leading them. He's the one that's feeding them and instructing them on how to live. Why should he wash my feet? I should be washing his feet. But Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have no part with me. You see, Jesus has to, you have to allow Jesus to wash you. Hallelujah. Then you know that you are part of the kingdom. You are part of his kingdom. He is the king. We are the kingdom. If Jesus doesn't cleanse us, if he doesn't renew us, we are not part of the kingdom. We need to be renewed. We need to be restored from what we are to what we need to be. And Jesus has to do that through the washing and the cleansing with his blood. Hallelujah. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Seven Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands, and my head. Now Peter, now catch it. Because Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part. Peter said, no, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head. Every part of me, wash me. Wash me and make me clean, Jesus. Hallelujah, you got to get that thing. You got to be washed. I'm so excited to have more of Christ Jesus that I want Jesus to wash me all over. Second focus is on the mind of the believer. See, you got to get your mind. That's why you say a man can be going to church and he's the preacher. He's the pastor. He is the evangelist. He's the teacher. He got a beautiful wife. She's the pastor, preacher, evangelist. She got a beautiful husband. But there's a young man in the church, maybe a deacon, maybe an usher. He's very, very attractive. His physical body is like a bodybuilder. Got nice deltoids, nice pec muscles, chest muscles, nice. And if in the winter, summertime, you see him with his shirt, half a shirt, his belly, all abdominal muscles, they're cut out. I mean, like they're just carved out on him. He looks good. He dresses nice. And the next thing you know, she is slipping and dipping with that young man, having sex with him. He is slipping and dipping with a young woman in the church. She may be singing in the praise team or the choir. But Satan showed her to him. He's the pastor. He's the apostle. He's the evangelist. He's the bishop. You see what he does? He goes into our mind and he puts that thought in there. And then he keeps pressing that thought. He keeps watering that thought. He plants that seed in our mind. And then he keeps showing us stuff. Oh, look, she's checking you out. She's watching you. He's watching you. Can't you see? The man may not even be thinking about you. But Satan is putting all this. The woman may not even be thinking about the pastor. But Satan's putting all these thoughts in his mind. Then they find themselves smiling with each other, winking eye at each other. Next thing you know, they're in a motel, hotel, or someplace else, in a car, a truck, or something, having intercourse. This is what he does. He don't give up. He plants a seed, and he also waters it. Or you have another demon waters it, so as to pull us off from our path. Because he doesn't want us to continue to walk in this path that give glory to God. He wants to derail us. He wants to destroy. Remember we started with John 10:10? He come to kill, steal, and to destroy. He wants to steal your focus. He wants to steal your hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what Satan wants to do. Let's go a little further in here. We got a lot of scriptures. I'm doing two part of this, maybe a three part. I got a lot of scriptures, but we just got to go. The Holy Spirit's leading me. I bring in a lot of scriptures this morning that I didn't even have on the paper. He says, "Oh Lord," verse 10 says, "Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every way. Yet is clean everywhere, and ye are clean, but not all." Now Jesus said, "Now look." Jesus began to break this thing down. Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not save, neither ask or accept or worry about being washed. He that is washed," that's what Jesus is saying. If you are washed spiritually, this is what Jesus is talking about. We don't need to be concerned too much about it. He says, "But it's clean anyway. And ye are clean." See, you are clean, but not all. He's looking at the disciples and saying that you are clean. He's looking at them spiritually, but not all you are clean. All you may be washed on the outside, but all of you are not clean on the inside. You see what Jesus is saying right here? "For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean." Somebody has some deception in them. Somebody has been impregnated with by the devil, by Satan himself, to betray him. Jesus knew that. You know what Judas was. Now let's go a little further. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. He said, you say, well, you call me master, Lord. You say, well, you spoke well, because yes, I am master and Lord. That's what he's saying. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Hallelujah. Everything that God has done to us and for us, we ought to be doing to each other. We ought to be willing to forgive each other. We ought to be willing to love and cherish each other. Unconditional love he gives to us, we ought to extend unconditional love. Hallelujah. We ought to be willing to extend this thing. Because when we do this, we show the world that we are his disciples. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, watch this. Surely, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now he's talking about himself, the Father, and he's talking about the disciples in himself. The disciple is not greater than him, he's Lord. He's not greater than the Father who sent him, because the Father's the Father, he's the Son. No. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Don't only have a connection of what God is saying to us, but begin to activate these things in our life. Now we say, well, we should forgive, but we don't forgive. We say we should have mercy, but we don't extend mercy. We say we should give, but we don't give. We know all these things, but we don't do them. Jesus said, happy are you if you know these things. Hallelujah. And do them. Glory to God. Happy are you if you do them. It's more than to know the Bible. It's also to live the Bible. We have to live the Bible. Our God said, don't just preach it, don't just teach it, but be it. Live the Bible. Folks will get mad with you when you make a mistake. But when they make a mistake, they don't want you to get mad. This is the world that we live in. Hallelujah. But you cannot allow that to disturb you and take you out of focus because you belong to God. Hallelujah. And you must operate. We must operate the way God has called us to operate. He said, I call you out of darkness into my marvelous light. Hallelujah. A light that, like no other light that you have never seen before. So God is expecting us to operate in this realm of holiness. This realm of deliverance, this realm of restoration. Even when your body don't feel right, Jesus wants you to speak healing to your body. He wants you to lay hands on your own head and say, in the name of Jesus, I declare healing over my body. That sickness has no power, no authority over me because I belong to God. I am purchased with the blood of Jesus. You got to speak this over you. I went into a house, the house I'm working in now. Hopefully next week I'll get it. We'll get inspection the next week because next week is Thanksgiving. We might not get it, but I got everything actually finished. I just got to turn on the water and put the water in the radiators. But every time I go to this house, my sinuses would go crazy. I tell the guy, yeah, that's a man. I know that I don't have no coronavirus. I had the shot. I use a lot of herbs and stuff. But every time I get there, man, I can't stop my nose from running. I mean, I started running like yesterday. Yeah, running every time. I mean, oh, my God, just running. And the guy said, he said, no word, Pastor. This insulation, they got this cotton type, fine cotton insulation. It looks like cotton, like dark cotton. But it blows everywhere. And every time we use the drill to drill holes, the motor in the drill was, you know, is like a fan moving around, and it will move that. And you can't help but breathe some of the fine stuff. And I got masks in my car, but I don't put the mask on. That was my part. He said, is that mask? And I realized as soon as I get out of that building and get in my car, the same stop. But in that building. No, this is what I'm saying. I knew that I should have put on a mask, but I didn't put on a mask. Jesus says, he says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you know the truth, but you don't live the truth, you're still lost. You're still in bondage. But he said, when you know the truth and you do the truth, happy are you. You have peace. When you know that you know that you know that you are living according to God's word, nothing really bothers you. Don't bother. It's going to show up. Because you don't remember Joe said it don't stop. Once he planted a seed in our heart, in our mind, he sent another devil toward it. Because he wants to win your soul. He wants to have control over your soul. He never stopped. Three times he tested Jesus. And every time he tested Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, remember God gave us that this morning? Every time that he tested Jesus, Jesus used the word. Jesus did not use power or some materialistic tool or weapon to hinder Satan, or he used the word, because the word of God is powerful. The Bible tells you that in Ephesians chapter 6. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. This word of God cuts going and cuts coming. You know, somebody might say, well, I don't care too much for your preaching. You're too loud, you're too long, and all that stuff. But guess what? If they hear the word that's coming out of my belly, out of my heart, when they leave Blog Talk with it, the word will keep them restless. They don't have no rest until they submit to the word of God. Because the word of God going to bother their spirit. The word of God is powerful. It's powerful. You know, that's why we always say, don't worry how people feel. Don't concern about how they're feeling. Just preach the word of God. Just preach and teach the word of God. I came on here, Minister Evangelist Cameron and I, back in 2010, when God told us to start a ministry. And it was claimed that the crowd, man, was packed on this Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio was packed. I mean, when you look at the computer screen, the telephone numbers was all the way from the top all the way to the bottom. And there was time that we came on, it was myself and the Holy Ghost. And I would wait till she come. And after she come, that night, because we used to go nighttime and daytime, sometime night, sometime day. Because we can only put on one program a day. So either you do it in the morning or you do it at night. So sometime how the Holy Ghost lead us, she would tell you, we never did it the same way. Now we do every day. But we would come on, Sunday night, we come on Monday morning, come on Tuesday morning, we come on Wednesday night, we come on as the Holy Spirit lead us. And sometimes nobody showed up. Just me and the Holy Spirit. And the service was so powerful. And then she would show up. And she might come in and read a scripture, or she might sing a song, or pray and close us out. But people were reaching out from all over the world. Only she and I and the Holy Ghost. That's why I tell Brother Deacon, when you get on your line, that international prayer line, if somebody don't come on, don't get frustrated and say, well, I'm going to turn off the line. No, go on and pray, sing, read a scripture, and then pray out. The Lord is pleased with that. Because you are still answering, doing what God said. That's all he called. He didn't call to come and say, wait till you got 15 people on the line or 20 people on the line to preach or sing a song. No, he asked you to go and put a word out there because somebody will listen. Somebody listening. Somebody. And with Blog Talk, really, when we put a word out, it goes out. I don't know how many thousands. I haven't looked back. So many thousands of people are listening. Now, I got a young man just come up now. You know, when I was in Africa, when the preacher made a call for offering, I think I talked about that yesterday, and he was the first person that gave. And I didn't take none of the money. I give it all back for the offerings. But now he's going through some stuff. And God just told he didn't even call me. I saw him on my page. He didn't call me. But the Lord said, I need to help him. And I told him, I said, send me your telephone number. Because one of the things that Western Union needs, they need to know the person that they're sending your money to, the telephone number. So I said, send me a telephone number. and the Lord permit me to bless you as I'm being blessed. Why are we doing that? We're not doing that to be heard or seen or none of that boastful. We're doing it because God showed me this man was first. He didn't even ask, even though I didn't take the money. I give it back to the church for the offerings. He said, when the preacher said, are we going to draw an offering for the, I could have gone cash the money at the bank and get American money. And I said, no, give back. You got to be ready to give. You got to be ready to give. You got to be ready to help. He said, Jesus said, I speak not to you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. No, what's Jesus saying? Jesus quoted now Psalm 41 and 9, Matthew 26 and 23. Jesus said, I've taken off you all, but there's one of you all going to lift up his heel. He used this terminology. There's one of you all that's going to come against me. Jesus knows who's going to betray him before he was betrayed. Hallelujah. We need to have eyes to see and ears to hear Satan before Satan speaks, before he make a move. But we are so focused on what's going on in the world around us that we're not looking at the spiritual things. God wants us to look, see spiritually, hear spiritual. Listen to what he says. He says, now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Jesus tell him, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be hung on a tree. I'm telling you all these things now because all these things going to come to pass. And when they come to pass, it will come back into your remembrance. Oh, yes, the rabbi told us this would happen to him. Hallelujah. Remember when he told Peter, you will betray me before the cock crow thrice. He said, you will betray me. Well, when Peter was outside the judgment hall and they were judging Jesus in the judgment hall, and one lady said, weren't you one of them that was one of his disciples? He said, no, I don't know that dude. I don't know who he is. And then again, he was somebody accused him, he said, and he started cussing. Peter started cussing. The Bible said he was cussing. I don't know him saying that. And all these words he was saying, but the Bible don't tell what word, but it said he cursed. So he was saying some words that were unholy. And the Bible said the cock crowed. Peter, remember what Jesus said, that you will betray me before the cock crowed thrice. Do you understand? He tells us. He tells us of things before they happen. What we need to do is follow him. He tells us that he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But he comes that we would have light and have it more abundantly. He said that the God of this world has deceived, blinded the minds of the people, lest they will receive the light, the glorious light of the gospel. This is what Jesus says. All of this is here for us. Says so some blinded us, come in our mind and show us. Now he don't put a blindfold that you put on a horse. How did he blind you? You want to know? I'm glad you asked that question. This is how he blinded people. He showed them stuff that looked great to them. Hallelujah. In ministry, we're going through a whole lot of stuff. We face a lot of trials and tribulations. Your body don't feel good. Your finances don't look good. Your marriage acting up. Your children acting up. Your car acting up. You can't pay your bills. And Satan said, why are you serving that God and your finances all jacked up? He said, I'll bless you with this. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. Didn't he tell Jesus that? After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, this is what he did, the same thing. He doesn't change. He don't have no new tricks. Satan used the same trick he used in the garden, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Same three weapons, but he turned them and he dressed them in new attire. One time he got some new slacks on them, a new T-shirt or sweatshirt. Another time he may have them dressed up in a nice tuxedo. This is what Satan does. But we got to be able to see and hear. But how are you going to see and hear? You got to trust God's word. You got to go into God's word so God will speak to you. God will refresh your soul, your spirit, man. So when Satan is speaking, you say, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said here in his text, he's keeping me in this book. I didn't even have this book. I only had two verses written down in this book, verse 2 and verse 27. But look at how God bringing this scripture alive to my eyes right now. This is now I tell you, verse 19, before it come to come, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he, that I'm God. I am the Son of the living God. I'm the one who was and is to come. This is what Jesus wants you to know. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus wants us to know this. He wanted his disciples to know this, and he wants us to know this now. No matter what's going on. He said, "Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you," verse 20, "that he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." See, when the preacher come and preaching the truth, you don't want to receive the preacher. So well, he's too loud. Man, they preach so loud, they stay so loud on Blog Talk Radio. What else you got to do? What else you got to do? Do you know when I'm working in a bishop or Apostle Jefferson preaching, and I'm out there working in the field? Do you know I tune my headphone on? Why? Because I need this. I need this word more than I need the money. I need it more than I need the money. Because most of the times I give it away. God know I'm telling the truth. I give it away. Only time I don't give away is when I want to buy a new tool. I don't buy no clothes, I buy tools. So I can make my job easy because I like to work easy. I don't like to work hard. But now with these jobs, some of these jobs, you got to go up so many stairs, man. You know, my knee, my right knee don't take the stairs like that. I've been praying all week for my knee. Well, so much else, they're both the same size now. But I'm telling you, I've been praying and laying hands on them. And I'm laying hand on my joints. Because, you know, you get older, your joints get tired. He said, we got to receive who he sent. We got to receive the preacher. And we got to receive him. Because God sent him. No. When Jesus had verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. When he finished speaking, that's what he's saying. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. And testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Now Jesus got real with this thing. He's troubled. Remember, he warned that somebody's going to betray him early. But now it's come to light in his spirit. It's come to fruition in his spirit. He's troubled because he's with these 12 men. And he knows that one of them going to betray him because the Father's already ordained it. They wouldn't let that surprise him. The Father ordained him. He uses Judas to betray the master so that you and I would have access to eternal life. If Judas didn't betray him, God would have to use somebody else. But Judas was an easy target to use because he was a thief. You remember when the woman with the alabaster box came and anointed Jesus? And Judas got upset because she anointed him with his expensive oil, the expensive perfume. Judas wasn't worried about the perfume. He's worried about that if the perfume has been sold, he kept the money bag. And that because he kept the money bag, he could siphon off some of the money from the top. There wasn't no how much in the bag because he was a thief. And Jesus knew, God knew that Judas was easy for Satan to use. He was an easy target. An easy one for Satan to use. Then the disciples looked one to another. Verse 22, doubting of whom he spake. The disciples began to look at each other. They were uncertain in their own spirit, man. So he can't really be talking about me. Because I really love it. And I honor my rabbi. I honor my teacher. That's how they were talking to each other. You know, with Apostle Washington. I was talking about her yesterday on the job. I mean, good talking. I don't gossip about people. I don't have time for that. My life is running too close to the end of the thing. But I was talking about it. I was telling this guy from, he's over here, he's from Trinidad. I was talking to him. And I said, look, I got some friends. I got some brother and sister in Louisiana that I love that they came out of my mother's womb. I begin to tell them. I said, look, they are the ones that you hear come on. Like, we didn't come on for a couple of days. And, you know, you sometimes get to doing work, because me, I'm serious about my work. I do my work to code. I don't take shortcuts. And the guy, he had asked me for the number, but he didn't persist. And we got to work, and I forgot to give him the number. He haven't got the number to Blog Talk yet. But We were done for 2 days because we were working, and we were getting bad signals, and a lot of things crossed up the line and stuff. So we decided to stay down 2 days so we could accomplish some more stuff and get the job to where it needed to be. It's right where it needed to be. But you know what surprised me? Let me tell you something, Sister Anna. This guy said to me, John, he says, Apostle, what's happened with the radio these couple of days? Guess what happened? He missed hearing Blog Talk Radio. I missed it too. I was saying to myself, I know what's going on. But he said, what happened to the radio? I said, well, you know, a lot of stuff going on with the signal and stuff. And sometimes when we're working, there's so much noise going on. I don't hear when somebody's calling or what's going on because the phone is over on the ladder or over on the sheetrock with the computer where it can plug it in. And we're over on the other side of the room. So I said, we're done. He said, man, I miss hearing that. I said, wow. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he just started hearing Blog Talk Radio for the last few weeks. And he missed it. But here, these disciples begin to talk to one another on certain who Jesus was talking about. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, is said John, the Apostle John, sitting next to Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him that he should ask, who is it should be of whom he spake? Peter asked him, John, why did you find out from the rabbi? Why don't you find out from the master who it is? All of them was concerned. All of them want to know because everybody know his heart. The ones that know that there wasn't the one that was chosen by Satan or chosen by God, that there wasn't the one. Judas knew that he was the one. But all the rest didn't know. Because Judas had the seed planted in him by Satan already. He was the target that God used. Hallelujah. So what we're talking about today, Satan's focus is on the mind of the believer. I know a lot of people say, I'm too sad, I'm so sad, Satan can't touch me. But I tell you, you're the one that he can put the thought in. And if that's the mindset you have, you're an easy target for Satan to take out. I'm so saved. I'm watching the blood of Jesus. Satan can't touch me. I'm telling you something. Jesus was the blood. Is the blood. He's the blood. He carries the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. Will take away the sin of the world. And Satan tested him 3 times. After you fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So you think that you're so holy that Satan can't drop a thought in your mind? You think you're so pious that Satan can't drop a thought in your mind? Make you hate your brother, hate your sister? Make you want to hurt somebody. Well, I tell you something, I got the plague. And I've been teaching and preaching this stuff for many years now. Traveling different countries preaching the gospel. And my wife will tell you that sometime I got the plague in the car with her and stuff going on. Stuff going on that people doing stuff on the highway. I got the plague for Lord. Just give me peace in my heart. Don't let anger take over me. Hallelujah. But let me take over anger. Let me have power over anger. I have to pray. Don't get so boastful and so pious and so up that you cut your sister down, cut your brother down, and think you're still saved. Man, go back on your knees and repent. Lord, Simon Peter asked and John to check with the Messiah, check with the Master, and find out who it is that's going to betray him. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? He got caught. Decided, said, this thing is too heavy. I'm close to Jesus, and I know where Jesus would tell me because I'm Jesus' brother. I'm his friend. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give his sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Now Satan, early in the text, Satan has put a thought in Judas. Remember that. Right when we start at verse 2, Satan has put into the heart of Judas Iscariot the thought. But now Satan now is going to bring this thought into fruition, full gloom. Satan now enter in as the water. of evil. He entered into Judas as the ruler of evil to really bring this thing to fruition. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I ain't going to get much more of this. But listen to what it says. He told him, that's why I'm going to dip my bread in the porridge in the stew. This one that I'm going to dip my bread in. That's the stuff they're talking about, this stew. When I dip with him and I get dip in my bowl and I hand to him, to the one I give to, that's the one going to betray me. Can you imagine the disciples walking and eating and sleeping with Judas Iscariot? And then when Jesus gives them this information, how you believe yourself? You are walking with him, talking with him, then you're going to betray him. Like people do with us. They walk with us, talk with us, pray with us, sing with us, dance with us, and then betray us. Something to think about. Hallelujah. But I thank God for the few people that we have that come on here on Blog Talk Radio and fellowship with us. Jesus said to him, Jesus, after the supper, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do it quickly. And out of will, what you're about to do, go ahead and do it. Jesus told him, go ahead and do it, because Jesus know that was his assignment. I mean, some people say, how can you walk with Jesus and betray him? How many people that you trust? We just had a man here in New Hampshire. I mean, that he been married for a couple of years. And then he just took the gun and blew his wife head off. Blew her head off. How many people that you said, well, I love my husband, but then they throw hot water in his face because he was cheating. How many people say, well, I love my wife so much, but then they cut up their wife and put them in a briefcase and all that kind of, and suitcase and shopping bags and put the all this stuff because they allow Satan to come on in. People don't know how to go back into Lord. I'm not receiving this. I'm not receiving this thought from the devil. Lord, help me to clear my mind. The devil is coming against me and want me to come against my sister, come against my brother, come against my uncle, my aunt, my neighbor, my nephew, God, my fellow worker. Lord, strengthen me that I would have strength over this, Lord. Lord, my sons are not acting right. My daughters are not acting right. And Father, sometimes I feel like just turning my back on them. But Lord, I ask you to give me strength, oh God, to be there for them, to speak to them the way that I need to speak in love and with kindness, oh God, to show them mercy and grace. Lord, help me, Lord, because I'm no good by myself, Lord. I realize this. I know this, Lord. I'm no good by myself, but with you, according to your word, I can do all things that you strengthen me. Father, I ask you to continue to order my steps, Lord. Let my steps be ordered. Let there be seasoned with the gospel, oh God. Let my steps be seasoned. Let my words be seasoned. Oh God, let me speak truth, oh God, in love. Let me not look down on anyone, oh God, unless I want to pick them up. God, help me, Lord Jesus. Oh my God, I just thank you, man. I just thank you. Listen, let me give you a little bit more this year. I think I'll finish this. I'll finish this chapter here, and then we'll go somewhere else. The next time we come back, Monday we'll be here Monday morning. The Lord say the same, because we are not going to the house on Monday, but Tuesday we go to the house. If the Lord say the same, we'll go to the house on Tuesday and put some water in the system. No man, verse 28, no man at the table knew what intent he spake this unto him. They didn't know what purpose. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast. Or that he should give something to the poor. See, they didn't understand, because God had, he had not opened the understanding of what Judas was going to do. They thought that he was speaking that Judas would go ahead and buy the things that we need for the Passover. Go ahead and get the stuff ready. Because Judas always carried. I never understood this, because I had a lot of preachers preach it, but I never understood this, that why that Judas was allowed to carry the money bag when all of them know that Judas was a thief. Jesus knew he was a thief. He called him out of darkness to be with him. But they allowed him to carry the money back. It says, he then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. After he dipped the bread, Jesus dipped the bread in the stew and gave it to Judas, and Judas ate it, said then enter into him and gave him the instruction in his mind. Give him the instruction to go out and get the servants to come and get Jesus. Knowing that Jesus was going to be in the, I'm telling you this, knowing that Jesus will go out a certain time every time, a certain time in the garden. Jesus had certain places that he would go in prayer at certain times. Sometimes he went to the mountain to pray. Sometimes he went in the garden of Gethsemane to pray. So Judas knew this. The disciples knew Jesus' routine. Like some folk, that you got to be careful when you're dealing with some people. You got to be very careful and cognizant of what people will do. Ask God to show the hearts and minds of people, because people, some folk that you think are close for you, they know where you drive, how the route you travel. Hallelujah. That's why I pray with God, show me my friends. Show me my sister's heart. Show me my brother's heart. Let me know if my brother's really with me. Let me know if my sister's really with me. Let me know if my cousin's really with me, my niece, my nephew. You know, the people that are around me, God, I pray that you allow me to see their hearts. Hallelujah. Don't be moved by substance, you know, earthly substance. Move by spiritual substance. People move because you buy me a new car. You take me to the mall and buy me two new rolls or some alligator crocodile shoes. Don't be moved by that stuff. As you, a new tennis bracelet, diamond tennis bracelet. No, don't be moved by that gold bracelet, gold earring, diamond. Don't be moved by that stuff. Move by spiritual stuff, because that's the stuff that's going to last. All this other stuff that we are getting is not going to last. Hallelujah, glory to God. But let me just finish this thing here. Just tell you this. I pray that Pastor Washington and Bishop Washington, Pastor Jefferson and Minister Andre, she's out with her daughter today. She's going to different schools. I think they have one or two schools to go look at today. Because I couldn't believe it when she told me. She said, oh, my God, Elijah got to go looking at high school. I said, oh, my God, she said that all that fast? She's grown up. I said, man, the little girl was just a little baby. But now she's grown up. She's a young lady seeking to go to high school. I said, well, don't worry about it. I'll just come on in and do something. Lord will give us something. The Bible says, he then, verse 30 again, he then, talking about Judas, he then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. After he ate the bread that Jesus gave to him, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Jesus says, now the Son of Man is being honored. Now Jesus knows that he's being betrayed, but he's going to go to the cross. Jesus thought he's going to go to the cross, and he's going to be crucified for your sin and my sin. And we're going to have access to the tree of life because we believe. We're going to hear the gospel. And when we hear the gospel, we're going to believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he is the Mary's boy, the one that was chosen from the foundation of the world to go to the cross and lay down his life. And so that you and I can come now and be washed in the blood, that we can be cleansed, oh God, from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. To be forgiven of our sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus says, no, he's going to be glorified. Hallelujah, Jesus. I tell you, that's so powerful. He says, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Listen, Jesus said, God's going, revelation of who he is going to take place right here on the cross. God's going to be glorified, and he's going to be glorified. Because the power of who he is going to be manifest right there on the cross. Little children, yet a little while, and I'm with you. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews. Whither I go, you cannot come. So now I said to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. Listen to Jesus. Jesus speaking his word here right now to the disciples. And he called them little children because why? They were young in the gospel. They were young in the teaching that he taught them. But they're going to get older after he's gone because revelation is going to come to them. Now, this word that he has spoken into their heart over the 3.5 years, that is going to manifest. It's going to be made known to the spirit man. Because everything that he spoke to them that will come to pass is going to manifest. He's going to the cross. He's being betrayed. He's going to the cross. He's going to die for humanity. But he wants them and he wants us to love one another as he loves us. We have to develop, understand this scripture here as it's written. Look into it. Jesus called us not just to be disciples, but for us now. We are disciples. We are sent to represent Jesus, his name, his character, his attributes here in this earth realm. So he wants us now to love one another because it's so important that we genuinely love each other. Unconditional love. Not with the mouth, but with the heart. Spiritual heart, that we love each other from the inside so that men, see, the devil can touch us when we genuinely love each other. When we truly care for each other, the devil gonna come around. He gonna put some thoughts, but when he puts thoughts, we'll cast them down. But he cannot physically touch us because we are washed in the blood. And the Bible said one can put 1,000 to flight, but 2 can put 10,000. We need to love unconditionally each other so that the power, the anointing, the glory of God that he talked about in chapter 17 will be on us. Hold your finger right there because I want to finish that. Let's go to 17. And let me show you. Because if you don't, you hear the word, but you need to see the word. John 17 and verse 22. Jesus talking to the Father. This is the longest prayer that Jesus prayed. And Jesus was a prayer. He is a praying God. He don't just say God. He prayed. He went on the mountaintop. He went down the valley. He always went in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for the boys. He prayed in the boat. He prayed on the water. He prayed every way. He prayed. He says, verse 22 says, Father, this is what we're talking to God. He says, let's start at verse 21. He says, let's start at verse 19. We're going back to chapter 13 in a minute. Let's go start at verse 19. He says, and for their sake. Let's go to verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is Jesus talking to the Father. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for this sake I sanctify myself. He set himself apart. This is what Jesus is saying to the Father. That they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Jesus is sanctified, set himself apart by the word of God. The word of God is truth. Hallelujah. I want you to understand this. I'm breaking this down by the Spirit. He said, neither pray I for these alone, Jesus said, talking to the Father. He said, I'm not praying for these alone to you, Father, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus said the word, through the message that they're speaking. People are going to believe on Jesus through the message that we're speaking because he is the Messiah. And we know this. How do we know this? Because he drew us out of the sin pit that we were in. He's the only one that could draw us out, and he did. Now, he said, listen. Many going to believe on him through their word, their message, that they also may be one as thou, Father, are in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. See, this is the main thing. When we love on each other, when we come on one, and we are praising God and praying to God, the world understands that we are sent by him. That we are his apostles, that we are his disciples, that we are his servants. Hallelujah. He is the master. We are the servants. And the servants are not greater than the master, but he did not call us servants. The Bible says he called us friends, not servants, because the servant does not know what the master does, but he called us friends because the friend knows what the master does. You get it? Let's go a little further. Verse 22 is where I want to be. He says, and the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. See, God wants us. He wants us to be one. This is the key point. that God wants. He wants us, Jesus wants us to be one so that we can glorify him. So that the world will know that we belong to him. That we have been washed in the blood. That we have been renewed. That we have been restored. That we have been elevated from this kingdom into his kingdom. See, because we were once in the kingdom of darkness, but now we are in the kingdom of the kingdom of light. But some folk are not operating in the kingdom of light because darkness still has some control over their mind. Satan is still putting stuff in their mind that's stopping them from fellowshipping. Do you hear what I'm saying? Glory to God. Let's go back to John chapter 13. Jesus speaking so clearly. Judas got this thing. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But this shall all men, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. If you love one to another. If you have love one to another. This is how the world going to know that we are disciples. There's such a great separation or division in the church right now. In the body, I like to say the body of man, because God's body is not separated. In the body of man, you got people in the house, I said it yesterday, that they don't sit next to some people because they can't get along, but they say they love the Lord. And Jesus said, if we love one another, people will know that we are his disciples. He talks about genuinely love each other from the heart, from the inside out, not from the mouth. The mouth says a lot of things. People say they love you until they throw out water on you. They say they love you and they cut your tires. They scratch up your car. They kill your cat, kill your dog, kill your party. But they say they love you. You understand what I'm saying? I'm bringing down this simple analogy. When people say they love you until they come against you, talk about you like a dog behind your back. And your ears are itching. My mama says, your ears are itching, boy. They're talking about you. Your nose is itching you. They're talking about you. But they say they love you. Listen what he says. Simon Peter said unto the Lord, verse 36, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. Jesus said, look, where I'm going, you can't follow me now. See, because Jesus knows that he's going to the cross. It wasn't time for Peter to go to the cross. Peter going to go to the cross too. People say he was hung upside down. Isaiah was sawed in half for the word of God. John was put in a pot of hot boiling oil. Didn't burn him. Hallelujah. Paul was killed. No, watch this. He says, you'll follow me out. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered and said, will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Do you see that? Jesus said, look, your mouth is saying one thing, but your heart will do something else. Don't say you're going to do something for me, but you're not really willing. Your mouth says it, but your heart is not there. Jesus told him one time, he said, your flesh is willing, but your spirit is weak. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. That's what I'm sorry. Your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said, before the cock crow thrice, you'll deny him. We can go into this. We got a lot more of this to go. I tell you, I got a lot more to give you. Next week, if the Lord say the same, we got a lot. We'll do part two of this next week, if the Lord say. Maybe Monday, God say the same. Okay? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. And Lord, we ask that you bless those that hear. We thank God for Sister Anna. She's so faithful. And Brother Deacon, we thank God for you. On your job, we pray that God bless you and keep you safe on your job. Pray God healing over Sister Anna, continue to heal her body, heal her mind, heal her spirit. And God will watch over her sons, daughter, and grandchildren. We pray God's strength right now upon you, Sister Anna. We pray that God continue to empower you And God continues to enlighten you, that God loves continues to reign through you, and that when you speak to your family, that you speak with power, you speak with authority, you speak with love, and you speak, oh God, with tender kindness. Lord, we pray for Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington, for Apostle Millie Jefferson. We pray for Evangelist Darlene Campbell, Evangelist Sheila. Oh, God, we pray for Minister Andera. Lord God, we pray for Evangelist Tina. Father, we pray, oh, God, for all those, Lord, that are just in my mind right now, but I can't see their names. But, Lord, we pray for all those that are part, Apostle Ronnie Stewart and Pastor George Stewart. God, we pray for those that come on the line from time to time. We pray for Apostle Angela Clare. Lord, we just pray right now for those that are, oh, God, for Shepherdess Holmes. Lord, we pray for those that come on this line from time to time and fellowship with us. But, Father, we pray, God, that you give us all the heart to love unconditionally, Lord God. We pray, oh, God, that you allow us to look beyond each other's faults, because we all have faults, and that we see each other's needs. Father, we ask you to strengthen us that we might see and hear what you want us to see and hear. God, we ask you, oh, God, to continue to order our steps. Lord, let your word be a lamp, a lightning lamp unto our feet, oh, God. Oh, God, and unto our path, oh, God. We pray today, God, that mighty God, that you would continue to uphold us with the shadow, under the shadow of your wings, oh, God. God, that you shine your light on our path, oh, God. We ask, God, that you protect us against every satanic power, every demonic power, every sorcerer, every witch, every warlock, every soothsayer. Father, we ask, Father God, today, that you make crooked places straight and rough places plain for us, oh, God. God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, God. We ask you, God, to bless us, oh, God, with life and life more abundant. Lord, we know that a false balance is abomination to you, but a just weight is your delight, God. We declare, oh, God, that we do all things honest, oh, God, before you, Lord God. Not before men, but we want to do all things honest before you, because you sit high and see low. Father, we pray today for that one that don't know Jesus today as Lord and Savior, that you might touch their heart today. And as they hear this message, we pray for all those in Africa, in India, in China, in Japan, and Pakistan, Iraq, and Iran, oh, God, Syria, Israel, Jerusalem, God, Judah, Lord, that don't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord God, let your spirit move through this earth realm, oh God, and begin to conquer, Lord God. You are the conquering Lion of Judah, Lord, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Lord God. We pray today that your spirit move through the earth realm and begin to heal this land, oh God, heal this nation, heal the world, Father God. We ask, oh God, that you begin to cause water to fall in Africa, rain to fall in Africa and India, not to kill the people, but, oh God, to bring up green, bring up vegetables, that the people will have to eat, oh God. Even those that are planting seed now in the ground, Lord, send the rain, oh God, that they would have food to eat, oh God, that they wouldn't have to depend on the government who is not even helping them. Oh, Father, we ask you today, Lord God, that you, oh God, rejuvenate the earth realm with your presence, oh God, with your anointing, oh God. Destroy the yokes of bondage, oh God, that the people might live and glorify your name. We ask you, oh God, to release the spirit of conviction in the earth, that men would say, what must I do to be saved, and come to you, oh God, and ask you to forgive their sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to say this little note that I have here, that you might recognize that Jesus is Lord. Your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for heaven: eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity before God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will still be walking towards eternity before God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven and to be sure you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says in his word, the Bible, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven by your own efforts. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Number three, you must believe that Jesus, that only Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say one of the ways, but the way. Jesus is the only way. Number four, you must accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Some may say, I am still young, and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. Number one, you do not need to be old to be near eternity. Number two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again, and these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Think about it, because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation 22:7, behold, I am coming quickly. Jesus did not say he was coming quick. He said, behold, I am coming quickly. That means quicker than quick. No man know the day or the hour. No man know the time. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you are walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. In John 3:36b, he who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. Now, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. The Bible says God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's John 3:17. Now, it's very important. Jesus did not come in the world to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. The Bible says in the book of Matthew that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. It's so important. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil heareth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that the deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. The Bible says in Acts 2:38, Peter speaks to the people as they were ministering. Peter says that they need to repent. Peter began to tell them, they were asking Peter what might they do to be saved. But Peter responded to them, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, this is a free gift. All you need to do is repent. Repent means to turn from whatever you're doing and turn to what you need to do. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this unto our generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Hallelujah. Had all things common. And this is what I like about this book. He said, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, even as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They had the same heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 4 and 12. Now you see, the power of God is moving through with the apostles as they are mingling with the people, as they are seeking out the people to tell them about Jesus. Neither is their salvation in any other, for there is none other name on the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, they're speaking with authority. They're speaking with boldness, and they see this. The people saw this. Now let's go to Mark chapter 16, and let's read this scripture here. And he said unto them, 16 verse 15 to 18, and he said unto Jesus, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is when you have been transformed, when you have been renewed, when you have been filled with the power and authority of Jesus Christ. He says in Luke chapter 9, I give you power and authority. He gives you power and authority. You know, we have to operate in that power and authority. And this is when you give your life. So then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is what Jesus did. Father, we thank you and praise you for those that heard the word today. Lord, you said wherever the two or three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst. We don't need a lot. We just need one or two to come according to your word. And because we know that we and the Holy Spirit is a majority. Father, we ask you to bless those that heard the word today and those that would hear it later, if they hear by computer or satellite phone, however they hear satellite radio. Lord, let the word that we spoke today make a difference in their life. Let it draw them and let them prepare them to gird themselves against the attack of the enemy. Father, we pray for those that need salvation, that as they give their heart to you today, that their lives will never be the same. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a good day to receive. Tomorrow is not promised. The next hour, the next minute is not promised to anyone. But while you have this minute, while you have this hour, take a time to just recite this prayer that the Holy Spirit has given. Say, Lord Jesus, according to 1 John 1 and 9, that says, if I confess my sins and believe in my mouth and believe in my heart that God's confess my sins with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I will be saved. I confess now. First John 1 and 9 says that you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I confess in my mouth right now that you, Son Jesus, died on the cross, that he was crucified, that he was buried, and that you rose him up on the third day, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, which says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. And if you believe in what you have heard in your heart, you know that there's something that is standing between you and the Savior. Remember the word that we preach on today. Satan's focus is on the mind of the believer. That's where his focus is. That's the only way that he can take us out, by putting thoughts in our mind. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wicked rulers of darkness of this world. So we got this thing that's going on, that's coming against us, because it doesn't want us to walk right before God. It doesn't want us to walk in holiness. It doesn't want us to walk righteously. So he's attacking our mind. He's putting thoughts in there. How do we defeat this devil, this Satan, this Diablo, Beelzebub? How do we defeat him? We go to Matthew chapter 4, and we use the same tactics. We use the same route that Jesus took. Jesus used the word as he tested Jesus three different times after Jesus fasted. We read the scripture early in Matthew chapter 4. He tested Jesus three times after he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was fasting. Satan tested him three times, and all Jesus used against Satan was the word, God's word, the living word, because the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. We see this. He said to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You need to put on this thing. Why? Because this fight is not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. Hallelujah. When you have brothers and sisters fighting against each other, why? They're not fighting because they don't like their brother. They're fighting because Satan is controlled. He's controlling their mind. Remember, that's what we talked about today. Satan is infiltrating their mind. We'll do part two of this if the Lord say the same next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because if the Lord say the same, we are still on this side of the grave. We're not going to the house to work. We are going to stay home to preach the gospel. Okay? Hallelujah. Then we'll go to the house, if the Lord say the same, on Tuesday to get some work, fill the system with water so we can get the radiators ready and get the boiler ready to heat up the house. So we thank God. If you don't know Jesus and you invite Jesus in your heart, ask Jesus to come on in. Say, Lord Jesus, I realize that sin has separated me from you. It has formed a great wall between myself and you. But today, according to your word, Lord, I am convicted in my heart that I need a Savior. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. And I come to you knowing, acknowledging that you died on the cross at Calvary, a hill called Golgotha, or the skull, called Calvary, the same place. Lord, I believe that you died for my sin and that if I were the only one on the earth, you would have left your home in glory and come into time to set me free. Today, Lord Jesus, I accept you. I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. And I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. And I thank you now for giving me the opportunity to receive you as my Lord, my Savior, and my King. Come into my heart. Live on the throne of my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you just said that prayer, uncommon prayer, that I believe the Holy Spirit gave to me, and you believe in your heart what you recite after me, you have just invited Christ into your heart, and Christ came in because you invited him. He's not going to go any place that he's not welcome. He came into your heart, and this is where he wants to dwell. Ask him to take control, complete control. So, Lord Jesus, take complete control of my heart. Lead me and guide me into all truth. Fill me, according to Acts 2 and 38, with the Holy Ghost. And filling is taking place right now. Now you need to be baptized. In 2010, when we started this ministry, Jesus told us to tell the people to start by reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. So you have a gospel understanding of this Jesus, the apostles, that same doctrine. There's no difference in the doctrine. They preach the same thing. They preach about the kingdom of God. So you have a gospel understanding of this kingdom that we preach and teach about. The kingdom is not a place. The kingdom is a people. Because people think it's a big building, a big castle or somewhere. No, it's the people. Every king needs a kingdom. Satan has a kingdom. God needs a kingdom too. One man came on, I think in 2011, and told me he got argumented. I just blocked him out from Blog Talk, really. He tried to tell me that Satan didn't have a kingdom, but Jesus said that Satan has a kingdom. Because he said, if Satan's kingdom is divided, how can it stand? Jesus said that. So that means Satan has a kingdom, and God has a kingdom. God's kingdom is God's people. So ask God to just strengthen you to live as a kingdom-minded person. Now you study the Bible, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher that know how to baptize in Jesus' name and tell them that you received the gift of salvation and that you want to be baptized. Because as we read in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, that you need to be baptized because baptism is part of your salvation. And John, Luke said it in Peter said it in Acts chapter 2 and 38, okay, that you need to be baptized. As you repent for your sin, you also need to be baptized. Why? Because that's your open proclamation that you have been saved. You know, you are telling the world, yes, I am saved. You know, you might say the prayer of salvation and it sounds real good, but when you get baptized, you have your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies come. You are telling them, yes, I have given my life to Christ. I remember a guy came in the church and saw me preaching, and he asked his mother, he said, is that David? And we used to get high together, and he's one of the guys that he died. He dropped down dead at a bus stop, and he dropped down dead at the bus stop. And I think there's only two people out of all of those many people that I used to get high with. Only two people alive, if that much. Only two people alive. But God is keeping me here for just what we are doing. Keep me here. Invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies to your baptism. Because you want the world to know this is the best time of your life. When you have rededicated your life to Jesus Christ, you come to salvation. You may have been saved before, and you're rededicating your life. You may not be saved, but you know you're getting saved. And you're declaring that you're dying with Christ. You're going down, and we like to call it the watery grave. And you're coming out this watery grave alive with Christ Jesus, telling the world that, no, I'm living for Christ. I'm alive to Christ. Okay? You come up out that grave. Your life will never be the same. I remember when I got baptized, man, I took off. I was running. And I was baptized by an elder. She was Elder Izzy, a woman. She baptized me, man. When I went down that water, man, I never felt like that since then. Man, I took off. She said, leave him alone, leave him alone. Brother Dave, he got the Holy Ghost. He got the Holy Ghost. Man, I was running. I was crying. I was laughing. I was everything in one. I never experienced nothing. I smoked so much cocaine, I tell you. In my time of getting high, I smoked so much cocaine, but I never felt like that day. I can't even explain it to you. You have to explain it. You have to experience it for yourself. You go down that water, and you have given your life complete to Jesus. And when you come up with that water, declaration is made that you belong to Jesus. Even Satan knows. He knows. Because he's looking at your mind. And no test is going to come that we talked about today. Test is going to come because Satan knows he no longer have control over you. So, but he's going to test you. He's going to test you. Remember we talked about that in the message? He's going to test you. He tests me every day. Oh, yeah, I go through tests every day. Every day. Hallelujah. He's going to test us every day because he wants to see if he can dislodge us from Christ Jesus, from walking for Christ, from living for Christ. You're going to have to get your Bible. You're going to have to study your Bible. You're going to have to spend time since that you have received the gift of salvation. You're going to have to spend time in the Word of God. There's nothing more important than studying the Word of God. You know, we want to go to the movies. We want to go to the restaurant, go to all you can eat. We want to do everything, clean our car. We want to do all this stuff. Everything becomes more important than the Word of God. The Word of God has to be your number one priority, studying the Word of God. Hallelujah. Timothy said, you've got to start to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You've got to study the Word of God because it's the Word of God that's going to strengthen your manhood. It's the Word of God that's going to strengthen who you are in Christ Jesus. It's the Word of God that's going to put you, have you standing on that solid rock that when attacks come, you can say, I don't have to move. Nothing can move me because I'm grounded, rooted, grounded on Jesus Christ. Got to study the Word. Test is going to come. It's going to be physical tests. It's going to be spiritual tests. It's going to be financial tests. It's going to be family tests, relationship tests. It's going to come because Satan is trying everything. He's going to try everything. He don't shoot one arrow. He shoots a lot of arrows at us because why? He comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But remember, we tell you early, Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. I thank God for those that received the gift of salvation today and those that will receive the gift of salvation at a later day. I thank God for you all. I pray that God strengthen you, that God empower you to continue in this way of life. It is not easy, but it's attainable. With the help of the Holy Ghost, it's attainable. You can live this life. God bless you all. Those of you that heard the word, we thank God for you. And those that were here at a later date, we thank God for them too. The line is open for anyone that wants to respond. If nobody wants to respond, we'll go ahead and close out because we've done what God said to do today. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We thank you for blessing us to hear, blessing us to speak, and blessing us to live this word today. O God, we ask today, Lord God, that you empower each and every one under the sound of my voice. Those that may be sick in their body, empower them with healing, deliverance, and restoration. Those that didn't come on the line, Lord, we ask you that let this word seek them out wherever they are. And comfort them, O God. We pray for comfort for every brother and every sister, every apostle, every prophet, every evangelist, every pastor, every teacher, Lord. We ask that you comfort them. Comfort us all, O God, that we would be empowered to do your work, even as we get into more perilous times. And Father, we are careful this morning, Lord. We ask you to bless us in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, O God, and bless us when we go. We ask, Father God, even as we go into this festive season, O God, where people are celebrating different holidays, we ask, Father God, that you protect us going and protect us coming. God, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, we pray that you'll make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Oh, Father, we ask you to let this GCR be released, O God, this global currency release take place, O God. Our Lord God, that we can be a blessing to many thousands and thousands upon people, O God, not only to them, but to our families and to our co-laborers, O God. We pray today, God, Lord, that you bless us in the city and bless us in the field, God. Almighty God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for deliverance to take place on this line, restoration to take place, even as the word is going forth. Let the fire of God come off, oh God, as people are listening. Let the fire of God just touch their heart and burn out what is not in us, oh God. We ask, Father God, for, oh God, transformation. We ask, oh God, for unity. We ask for restoration, oh God. We ask for deliverance to take place, healing to take place, oh God. Yes, right now in the name of Jesus, those people that are suffering with cancer, those that are suffering for lupus and gout and those that are suffering with all forms of disease, emphysema, Lord God, we pray right now for healing. God, those that are suffering with eye problem, oh God, being sight problem, ear problem, hearing problems, oh God, speech problems, those that are suffering with brain tumors and breast tumors, oh God, liver tumors, oh God, kidney tumors, oh God, colon cancer. Lord, we pray now for healing right now to manifest, oh God, those that are suffering with leukemia, cancer of the bone, right now in the name of Jesus, those that are suffering with arthritic pain, God, we pray for healing right now. Lord God, manifest your power. Let your glory come down, our God, and touch your people. Touch us, oh God, that we already know that you are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are our restorator, oh God. Yes, Lord, our restorer. Oh, Father, we pray, God, that you go through this nation, go through the nations, the continents of this earth, oh God, and begin to heal presidents and prime ministers and congress and senators, oh God, judges and magistrates, oh God, police department, fire department, plumbers and carpenters, and housewives, oh God. We pray for healing right now. Oh God, heal marriages right now. Heal teachers right now. Doctors and nurses and therapists, Lord. We ask for healing right now. For strength right now. Heal right now. Heal the lungs, oh God. Heal every infirmity of the lungs right now. Oh God, I pray for Nancy, Lord, that you will heal her lungs. Take away, oh God, that infirmity out of her lungs, oh God. Lord, we ask you to heal right now in the name of Jesus, because we know that you are the healer. You are the deliverer. You are the restorer. No one can heal but you, God. Lord, the doctor prescribed the medication, but you are the healer. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now. As we leave this line, but not your presence, oh God, we ask you, oh God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It might stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. That just means that the attributes of Jesus Christ must be seen in our lives. We must operate in the same vein that he's in, the same characteristics, the same love, the same compassion, same mercy, same patience. We must have all this must happen in our lives, that people will know that we are truly his disciples. I love you as Christ loved you, but remember, he loves you more. In Jesus' name, have a blessed day, and God bless you. Bye-bye.